Those who speak with care will be rewarded. And I may say that those that don't care will be rewarded too. Because there is always consequence. Sometimes we don't realize that we only think that if we do something nice, we'll get paid for it. Yeah, when we do bad, we get paid, and very, very heavily paid as well. And so, yes, our words do matter. So the title for today, we decided to put a word that all of us can relate with, one way or the other, control. Have you been around people that are obsessed with control? I'm not talking about when you look in a mirror. I talk about really when you are. Yes, it's true. Sometimes we are so frustrated with people that are obsessed with control, we don't realize that the reason why sometimes we are so upset about it is because we have the same issue. Sometimes the more obsessed we are with control, the more other people's control bothers us. And we have seen this in many aspects of life. So we're going to briefly touch this subject today. Why I chose to talk about control? We have talked about promises. We talk about conviction. We talk about compromise. We talk about alliance. And we talk about conformity. We talked last week about the Antichrist, which is always obsessed with control. And as we study the Bible tells us from day one, from our mother in the Garden of Eden, the issue was control. Satan told her, you can be independent. You don't have to be under God's control. You can have control yourself. Do this, and all that you're going to do, you'll be in charge. Nobody else will control you. So control can be a good thing, and control can be a bad thing. All depends why you use control for. And Webster Dictionary defines control this way. As a verb, it says to exercise restraining, or to direct an influence over, or in other words, regulate. And B, to have power over, to rule. We live in a world today that people are obsessed with controlling other people. And we see what is happening in Russia. We see what happens in the politics in our own country, in our own state. We see all over the place. And we see some people exercising whatever it takes in order to have control of other people's lives. And sometimes people talk about 1,000 lives like it doesn't matter. There are all the destruction going on in our world right now. Better to be patient than to be powerful. Tell that to Putin. Better to be patient than to be powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a whole city. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we read those verses and we always think about somebody else. Today, let's do something different. Let's think about our own selves. Because it is what control does to me. What controls will do if I lose that control. The text was Proverbs 16:32, New Living Translation. Sometimes I forget that we have some brothers and sisters with us online as well. So I have to make the reference. Those who do not control themselves are like a city where the walls are down. What happens to when a city has no walls? It becomes free for all, right? Everybody can come in and do whatever they please. That's Proverbs 25:28, New Century Version. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, New Living Translation says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. If you are a good Christian, if you are a true Christian, the Holy Spirit will produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I find amazing that it was intentionally that he put self-control at the end. Because imagine if you claim to have all those things and you do not have self-control. All those things will be a lie. So the basis, the foundation for all those things that you have in your character is self-control, is the ability to apply what you have. There is no law against those things. In other words, if you have all these fruits of the Holy Spirit, nothing can condemn you. Nothing can go against you in that sense. Now continue. These things I have spoken to you, that is John 16, verse 33, Jesus Christ saying, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, trouble, all of us. But be a good cheer. I have overcome the world. I came here, I put you on your own uniform. I know what you go through. I have experience, and I can guarantee you, I am in control. You don't have to worry about what is happening in your life. I am in charge. And that's the message that God is telling you. If sometimes we speak about our persecution is going to come, Sunday law is going to come, this is going to come, the economy is going to come. We have so many things to scare us out of our boots, right? We have so many things to try to plant fear inside of us. You know what fear does? Fear undermines this control that God's supposed to have in our lives. Because when we are dominated by fear, when fear controls us, we lose everything with it. That's why we cannot allow fear to control our lives. Where God's love is, there is no fear. Because God's perfect love drives out what? What? So why sometimes we are so afraid of everything? Sometimes we are put in a situation that maybe the check will not come, or maybe I may lose my job, and suddenly we start sweating. You know, we start all afraid. Sometimes we have enough, but we keep so much because sometimes we are driven by fear. It says, it is punishment that makes a person fear. So love is not made perfect in the person who fears. Now, I have seen sometimes in some religions that call themselves Christians, we already discussed this last week, you know, not because somebody says they are Christian, they're actually Christians. And there are people that use an approach to let people know that they, I'm a Christian because I do this and this. I have a control of my life. I do so many good, service to other people. And people think that that is what a sign that they are Christians. But it's not. Sometimes people that call themselves Christians, they do things because they are afraid that one day they're going to be not saved. If you are in the church because you are afraid to lose your eternal life, there is a great probability that you're losing your eternal life. You should be in church because you have eternal life. Amen. Because if you have Christ, Christ said, if you have me, you have life. Amen. So you should be in church with a beautiful smile. You know, not like your life is so miserable. Remember, there is another church that calls coming to church of penitence, but not here. So you're not here because you are paying something. You are here because you gain something. Amen. You are here because you are a winner. You are here because the God who creates you, the God who sustains you, is in charge. So don't fear punishment. Punishment is not something that was made for us. If we walk with God, His grace will be sufficient for us. So don't fear punishment. Because if you have love, if love is perfect in you, and by the way, love is God. And so if God is perfect in you, you have no fear for punishment. All those who compete in the games use self-control. Sometimes I hear athletes being interviewed, and somebody just asked this girl, I says, how many hours do you train a day just to win a medal? He says, oh, I go to school. I get up at 5 o'clock. I go to school, and then I practice 3 hours. And then I take lunch, and I go for more studies. I do my homework, and then I practice another 3 hours. Every week? I said, no, every day. And the more you practice, the more you are in control of the abilities that you are trying to accomplish. When we see my sister here playing the piano, we know that she didn't take 5 minutes to learn. When we see somebody singing with, you know, because the voice is a wonderful instrument, it takes time, it takes practice. And so when we put work to it, then we can say we are in charge of our abilities. And then it says here, don't be a fool and quickly lose your temper. By the way, we always meet people that lose their temper very, very easily. And sometimes we are one of them. Be sensitive and be patient. Proverbs 29 verse 11, Contemporary English Version. And then also in the scripture says, my dear brothers and sisters, always be more willing to listen than to speak. And I mentioned here before, God gave us one mouth, but gave us 2 ears. We should listen twice as much. And that is the message. Keep control of your anger or your temper. That's James 1 verse 19, easy to read version. What a beautiful advice, isn't it? Because you have these blessings, do your best to add these things to your lives. What are the things? Your faith. To your faith, don't just say, I have a faith. I go to church. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. No, to that faith you have to add goodness. And to goodness, you should add knowledge. And then to knowledge, you should add self-control. And to your self-control, you add patience. And to your patience, you add service for God. By the way, talk about service for God. Very soon, few of you will receive a phone call. And that is the time when you say, yes, the pastor did say something about service for God. No, the pastor did not. Peter said. And it was not Peter either. The Holy Spirit used Peter to say this. So let me read this again, because some of you may need to hear this very well, because the phone call is coming. All right? And so it says, and to your self-control, add patience. And to your patience, add service for God. And to your service for God, you have to add something else. You have to say, yes, I am willing, because it says, add kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to this kindness, add love. Everything's supposed to be in that base. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. Now, in his own strength, man cannot rule his mind. But through Christ, he may gain self-control. It's he or she, okay? In his strength, he may bring his thoughts and words into subjection to the will of God. This was written by Ellen G. White in the Review and Herald, October 31, 1907, was published. Here is another part of that statement. The religion of Christ brings the emotions under control. The religion of Christ. Which religion of Christ is that? Anybody knows what church Jesus belonged to? He went to church on Sabbath. He believed the word of God was a sola scriptura. He believed exactly the same things that I believe. So I can say that he was Seventh-day Adventist. That's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist too. It says, the religion of Christ brings the emotions under the control of reason and disciplines the tongue. Under its influence, the hasty temper is subdued and the heart is filled with patience and gentleness. Imagine if we could all embrace those very wise words. Again, Christ gives me the strength to face everything. I can do all things in Christ. That's the different version, Philippians 4:13, contemporary English version. So it says, Christ gives me the strength to face anything. Why? I know He is in charge. I know He is in control of everything. There's no reason for me to fear, to be afraid. What you say can mean life or death. This is our script for today. Those who speak with care will be rewarded. Again, that's Proverbs 18:21, New Century Version. Lord, this is a prayer that we wish that everyone over here can pray with me. Lord, help me control my tongue. You can say if you want to. Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me be careful about what I say. Let my words be words of life, never words of death. Let everything that I use my lips to be a glory to you. Let everything that I do be a manifestation, the Lord, that you are in charge of my life. So Lord, help me to control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. Because what I say affects the environment where I belong. Affects everything. Sometimes we don't realize that something that we may say may produce rewards or damage for generations to come. So be very careful what you say. Psalms 141, verse 3, contemporary English version. Now, some of you may have heard about this individual. He lived many years ago, General Robert E. Lee. He was a general for the Confederate Army from the South. He was once asked by a reporter what he thought of a fellow officer in a Confederate Army. This officer, let me give you more details about this officer. This officer went around saying very bad things about General Lee. He told very despicable thing about him. He was supposed to be disciplined. And you know the Army, when they discipline, especially those days. Yeah, you're silenced. But when the report asked General Lee, what do you think about this individual? He says, he is actually a good person. He is, he's a good professional. So the report becomes a little bit disappointed because he expected him to say, oh, he is a piece of trash, and so on and so on. And I cannot even think about what they would have said. But this, when the report showed frustration, this is what he answered to him. But I was asked my opinion about him, not his of me. The difference is who has control over you. Nobody else should. The only time other people may be tempted to have control of you is when you don't have control over yourself. And when you don't have control of yourself, I can guarantee you somebody else is controlling you. Or it's either God or the other guy. So I like this very much. That's why I decided to put this on, because it says, but I was asked, you asked me my opinion about him. You didn't ask me, you know, the other way around. So what do you say is very vital in life? Jesus was still speaking. Some people came to from Jairus' home and said, your daughter has died. So why could continue bother? Don't bother the teacher anymore. You know, you did your best, but it's gone. No more. Jesus heard what they said. And he said to Jairus, don't worry. Just have faith. I'm going to say that God, if you hear well, if you can listen, God is saying this to you because each one of you here may at this moment have a unique challenge in your life. Some of you may be overwhelmed with the situation that you may be going through, health-wise, family-wise, professional-wise. Only God knows what is your situation. But I want for you to listen. Pretend to be Jairus for a moment. Don't worry. Just have faith. Some version says, don't you worry. Just believe. Believe. Because God is in control. You know that Jairus was a head of a synagogue. He was a leader. And when his daughter was sick, he sent somebody for Jesus. But before Jesus could talk to him, somebody told, no, it's not needed anymore. Some of us will be tempted to quit praying for something because somebody will say, nah, it's not going to work. I'd like to say to you the words of Jesus Christ. Keep on believing. Don't you worry. Just have faith. Don't quit. Who is in charge of your life? If it is God, you don't quit. If it's somebody else, c'est la vie. Mark 5, verse 35 and 36. Now, Paul says this. The love of money causes all kinds of trouble. And by the way, let me say this to you. There's nothing wrong with money. Okay, this is not about money. This is the love of money. What is the wrong with the love of money? By the way, it's not possible to love money. That's already something that's wrong. Anybody here loves lasagna? Is there anybody here loves lasagna? Anybody here loves apple? I'm glad that you did not fall for my trick. We don't love things. We can't. Every single time that we love things, we run the risk of idolatry. Okay, I know that it's semantics. Some people may say, oh, this is, but I want you to think. Because sometimes we think one way, and the way we express reflects what we are thinking. So when somebody says, oh, I love this food, I say, no, you can't. Don't love food. You appreciate, you like, but love is a feeling that you have to give to those that can relate to you. And that's why the Bible says God is love. The love of money causes all kinds of trouble. Some people want money so much they have given up their faith and caused themselves a lot of trouble. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. I wish that you could mark this in your Bible. Mark this in your Bible. The love of money causes all kinds of trouble. And that's why some people have left the church. As a pastor, I have met quite a few people. I remember when I was just graduating in theology, we started a new church close to the university. And we are getting ready to have a huge baptism. And then the priest, the Catholic priest in town, was informed that, oh, there is a new Seventh-day Adventist church started here in our town. And the priest did not like it. So the priest went to the city and demanded that they change the free market that was every Sunday to change to the Sabbath. And he said, I want this done for next week. And something that had been done for generations was changed just like that. And I have this large group of the people who are supposed to be attending church and ready to be baptized. And came the Sabbath, they disappeared. And then later on I met with some of them and they said, but Pastor, we are in a situation that is almost impossible, unbearable for us. You know why? Because in this small town, we come to the free market. We bring the things that we have to sell, and with the money we have to buy provisions. We cannot survive without being participating in a free market. And then some verses came to my mind, especially the one that says, it will come a time when we will not be able to buy or sell anything. Brothers and sisters, don't make the world control you. Don't let the world's rules control you. Caesar has the right to be respected and to establish laws. One thing that Caesar does not have the right is to control my eternity. My eternity only belongs to the one who lives forever, who created me, who redeemed me, and will provide for me eternal life. Amen. So don't give that control to anybody else. Honor Christ and let Him be the Lord of your life. Honor Him and give Him control. Always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about the hope that you have. Why are you so different? Why you're happy all the time? Let them know who is in charge of your life. That is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Overseers. What are the overseers? In the Bible says the church elders. That implies the pastor too. It says, must be ready to welcome guests. We like to welcome my guests. So I'm doing my job. Love what is good. Be wise. Live right. And be holy and self-controlled. That is what is expected not only from the church elders. This applies to every single member in the church. And if this is a reflection of your life, I can tell you today, God is in charge of your life. Amen. Now, what is this? This is not 10 rules to control you. Actually, the Bible says in the book of James that says, it calls the will of God the law of liberty. If God is in charge of your life, you are free. If somebody else or anything else is in control of your life, you are a slave. You're doomed. The only way you can be free if you surrender to the one who creates you everything that you have. God's will. I think it's Matthew, right? Matthew chapter 6 that says this. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? In my neighbor's house. Oh, in my wife's life. It says here, on earth as it is in heaven, everywhere. It will come a time when God will be in control of everything again. And then death will be gone. Tears will be gone. Pain will be gone. Tribulation will be gone. Racism will be gone. All kinds of evil will be gone. Because God will be in charge completely again. Matthew 6 verse 10, New King James. It is not sure, not use for them to worship me. No use. Because they teach human rules as though they were my laws. I used this last week. You put aside God's command to obey human laws. Sometimes people between God and humans, and that's the problem with the Bible talking about the beast, the mark of the beast, is when humans decide to give control to another human and make the creatures their idols. And I'm not going to say they're gods because only there is only one God. And so in some versions says, in vain they worship me because they are teaching things that they created, not what I created. Mark 7, 7 and 8, Good News Translation. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. Do you remember where this comes from? Matthew 7. I said Mark 7, now it's Matthew 7. It's Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous sermon ever written. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But what will be the key factor? The will of God. Who is in control? If God is in control, His will matter. My will has to be a reflection of His will. And then it says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, when it will be too late, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? By the way, here they come saying, I have controlled my own destiny. What I did, I make sure that my works were there. So they try to purchase their salvation. Have you not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Here is the list. And God will say, Jesus Christ will say to them, and then I will declare to them, I have no idea who you are. Imagine you come to church all for 30, 40 years and listen to this. I hope not a single one of you here will come to this. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you know what the word lawlessness means? A person who has no self-control. A person who despises guidance. Have you noticed how people, we live in a society when people despise any kind of a restriction, any kind of law? We live in a lawlessness. There are people that are, when I was listening to the president speaking, and I saw the bizarre behavior of him. And now there are people that are going to online, he said bad words like that. Is what is going on with this? What are we going to, it doesn't matter what side of politics you are, just use a sense of dignity. What is going on? It's lawlessness. Everybody does whatever they please. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, says, verse 20, you have the gift that the Holy One gave you, so you all know the truth. This is John chapter 2, I believe, verse 20. I want you to look at this picture. We are close to conclude this message. I would like you to look at this picture. What this shows to you. God will make the way. There is a song, very famous song, that used this God will make the way, right? Now, I want you to look at this one. It doesn't matter. Sometimes, just like Moses, it came with the people, and there was this sea in front of him. Behind him, destruction. In front of him, no hope. And he turned to God and says, why now? What do I do? God said, march. I am in charge. March. Don't let fear. Don't let any... If you have a wrong perception of what is behind in front of you, turn your eyes to Christ and he will show to you that the waters, everything will move out of your path because God will make a way. The same picture. But now I want to put a word there. I want you to look at this word. What do you see in that word? There is a sign in that word that I hope you'll be able to see. And that is a clear evidence that God says, every single time you see this symbol, I'm telling you, I am in control. Okay, the path is Christ. I am the way. God is in control. No matter what is coming, by the way, difficult days will come. If we know about history, we know there is always time for calamity, but there is always time for miracles. Amen. I know for sure, I have no doubt that my God is in control. Amen. And miracles will come. When the affliction gets up and it starts going after the good people of God, I know that my Lord will be there. Would you please open your Bibles? It's not going to be on the screen. It's one of my favorite verses. Some of you may probably already even know. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. You can say amen when you're there.
Amen.
All right. So we can know how fast you are. Okay, 41. I want you to read verse 10 first, which says, so do not fear. I'm going to give you a different version, okay? So do not fear, my child, for I am in charge. For I am with you. Do not be overcome by fear, because I am your God. I am the one who gives you strength, so trust, I am in charge. I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So don't fear, my child, I am in charge. Verse 13, for I am the Lord, your God, your Creator, your Redeemer, the one who will save you, the one who is coming for you, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, my child, I am in charge. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and don't forget, he is in control. Here Paul says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Amen. Who is in charge? The Lord is. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine and I am his.